Okay, so today is the 23rd of January, 2018. It is the 7th of Shvat Tavshanayin Ches. We are halacha day of Parakeet Aleph in Parsha Shemini. And we've already alluded to this, the Ramban made allusions to this, and that is the idea of figuring out what are kosher species and what are not, particularly with regards to birds. So birds are a particularly interesting concept, because the world is made up of many, many different types of birds, and the Torah gives us 24 species that are prohibited. It doesn't give you any rules, as opposed to the other ones where it gives rules. Here it doesn't give any rules. And and of course, what those 24 are very unclear. In fact, if you art scroll by Peshitta, I'm going through research, I saw somebody commented that they had a Shita about this, that they weren't going to attempt to translate any of the birds, they were just going to put in a transliteration, because just trying to translate them is already opening yourself up to major disputes about probably almost all of these birds, even the ones that we know, Orev, Raven. So even what that is might not necessarily be what we identify today. Might that be from the old days, etc. So then, where does that leave us today with figuring out what birds should be kosher and which ones are not? So there is a Mishnah in Maseches Chulin in Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel is Perek Elu Trefos. It is one of the few Prakim and Shas that take up an entire volume of an art scroll Gemara. Maybe the first parak of Kedushin is like that as well. And if there are any others, let me know. But very prominent, and it's filled with maps. The art scroll did you the favor of putting in colored maps, colored diagrams or pictures of animals of Maseches Chulin. So Elu Trefos is known for listing off the trefos, what the trefos are in animals. So the last mission on Elu Trefos says the following: Simani behema v'chaya nemru min ha-Torah. Right, the simanim in an animal are in the Torah itself. The simanim of animals themselves. Simani of low nemru, but the signs of the chicken, or not chicken, I don't want to go in here, birds is not mentioned. So, Aval Amru Chachamim, but the Chachamim said, Kol of Hadores Tamei, any bird that is Doris. What does it mean is Doris? So that itself is a machlokas. It sounds like it's literally clawing, but there's a machlokas what that means. Clawing in order to eat, clawing holding down and eat from that, but holds its food down by clawing. Now, you have a little bit of a problem. Even chickens probably hold things down in order to eat it. But something along those lines, if the animal is Doris. Next. And then, kol sheyeshlo etzba yaseir, if it has an extra toe, vizefes, it has a crop, vikurkvano niklaf, and the gizzard that can be peeled. So here's a bit of a diagram here of a rooster. Here is the crop, is up here, and the gizzard is down here. These are things that are inside the animal. So both of those things are good. They have to do with the digestion of whatever it is that is eating. As we mentioned the story, I think last week, there's a famous, probably apocryphal story of one of the Gedolim in Europe. It said, I think, Baruch Ber, that he was shown once a korkovan and said, is it asked if it was kosher? And he said, you know, what's that? And they said, oh, that's the korkovan. Oh, that's the halakha korkovan that's talked about all in the Mishnayos and the Gemara. He actually hadn't actually seen it, just learned about the Lundas of it. It's probably apocryphal, because that's what most Rabbanim in Europe are doing. To get smicha, you had to know these kinds of things, as opposed to nowadays. So anyways, so those are tahor. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, kol of hacholek es raglav tami, that any part that any bird that parts its toes of its feet are also going to be considered non-kosher. I think that means that it's a two and two. That if it's two and two, so then it's going to be a problem, as in the makaw. Makaw is two and two. Okay, so
as opposed to a webfoot.
As opposed to, right, most of the birds that we eat have three in the front and one in the back. And that's, I think, okay. Oh, actually, no, even that seems to be a problem. No, that's okay. That's the added toe that it's talking about, the Esba Yaseira, that's okay. But if the added toe then gives it two and two, so then that seems to be a problem, according to Rabbi Eliezer Ber Avi Tzadok. So those are the rules. Now, it was listed off in a little bit of a strange way, right? It listed off, any oaf that is Doris is Tamei. And if it has a Esba Yaseira, if it has a Zephes, and if it has a Korkovan, so then it's going to be Tahor. So what about if it's... I mean it's an odd. What about if it's one or the other? What about if it is Doris, but it has those three signs? All right, so it could be that that's impossible. It just doesn't exist. I don't think that that's assumed. Assume that that is that could come into existence. That could have a that could be Doris, and it could have those three. In which case, if it is Doris, so then that's the end of the story. It's going to be no good. So the main thing that we're looking for is Doris. And also, some Rishonim then say that if it has the other three, that is a sign that it isn't Doris. Right? A sign that if, I mean, how do you know that an animal doesn't claw? How do you know? So you got to watch it for a while. So what if you watch it, you watch it, you watch it, you watch it, you watch it? How long do you have to watch it? So if you have those three other signs, so it sounds like you should be okay. Now there is a bit of a problem, because in the Gemara on Samach Beis Amud Beis tells the story of the Tarnagola de Agma. What is a Tarnagola de Agma? An Agma is a swamp. So Tarnagola de Agma is translated as a swamp cock. Is one of the eight questionable birds, Vahainu Mardu, and that is the Marda. However, Tarnagola de Agma, Rav Papa says Tarnagola de Agma Asira, Tarnagolta de Agma is Sharia, but a swamp hen is okay. So a swamp cock, meaning the male, is a problem, but the female one is okay. How do you remember that? V'simnech amoni v'lo amonis. I like that one. Amoni, because we are permitted to marry a male Ammonite, a female Ammonite, but not a male Ammonite, right? Like Rus is permitted, but males are not permitted to marry the female. So amoni v'lo amonis, meaning we're permitted the... the male is prohibited, but the woman is permissible. However...
So all web-footed fowl are...
Well, we didn't say anything about web-footed yet.
We talked about clawing.
Yeah, so hold off on the webs. We'll get to the webs. So Darish Maremar, so Maremar commented, Tarnagola da Agma Asira, the swamp hen is actually Usser. And Chazyua de Darsava Achla, because they later saw it clawing its food and eating it, Vahainu Gerusa. And this is what we call the Gerusa. So it sounds like they were eating this bird. It sounds like, and they had some generations of eating this bird, and then lo and behold, someone saw it being Doris, whatever that Doris means, and there they said, "Aha! It must be that it's Usser." Like, well, so what about all those years? So that sounds terrible. So Rashi comments that they saw it, and then he comments, "We took Sheinlon became." Then he comments, and then nearly the Of Habalifenenu, that if there's a bird that comes in front of us, Yishlomer Shema Yidros, we have to be concerned that maybe it is Doris. The Ha Ha Tarnagol's the Agma Hayimachzikim B'Tora V'Achrisman Ruisha Doris Vein Of Nechal. Period. Right? That we behold this bird. This bird was everyone thought it was okay, and they ate it, and then lo and behold, they found out that it was no good. So Vein Of Nechal Lanu Elabimisor. And therefore, an oaf, a bird, should not be eaten by us unless there is a misora. Misora's oaf shemasulanu avaseinu b'tahor v'shalom asulanu yesh lachash leishach hashem. There's no misora, so then we have to be concerned about it. So says Sam, wait a second, they had a misora. Well, where did it come from? It was a problem. So it was a faulty misora. It was based on the signs, rather based on the Masorah, and therefore it's okay. So therefore, the Rashi is really, we think about it from the Ramah, we'll get to the Ramah in a moment, but Rashi seems to be the originator of this idea, that unless a bird has a Masorah, has a good tradition that it's kosher, it's not going to be good. You can't eat it. So that, it's not actually quoted in Shulchan Aruch, but the Ramah does comment, Simon Pebe's Sif Gimel, in Yeridaya, says the Ramah, we'll get to the Machaber a little bit later, V'yesh Omrim She'ein Lismoch Afilu Alzeh, even what the Machaber was talking about, V'ein Lechol Shum Of, and don't eat any bird, El B'Mesor She'kiblu Bo Shutar, unless there is a Mesoras that is accepting that it is Tahor, V'chein Nogin, and thus is our Minog, V'ein Lashanos, and don't change that Minog. Now it's often been pointed out that when the Ramah kind of builds up about this, he's upset about something. He has something in mind. And he says, and don't change this, and if you change it, etc., he's usually going after somebody. It sounds like I've come across a few examples that there was somebody who had that minhag, and the Ramah is going after that person. But if there's somebody that has the minhag, that means the minhag might be continuing. Right? So anyways, to the Ramah, paskin that, unless we have a Masorah, one is not permitted to change it. Comments the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, so what exactly is this Ramah talking about?
Ramah is for Sfarim, right?
No, Ramah is for Ashkenazim. Ramah is for Ashkenazim.
Sfarim don't
So the Sfardim are not bound by this, except for, okay, I'll spill the beans a little bit. The Mechaber in the previous section, he really does, because he says, what the Ramah is commenting on is the following line. Yesh omrim shekol oath shechartuvo rachav v'kaf raglu rachva. That its beak is wide, and its legs are, and its feet are webbed. Kishel avuz. What is an avuz?
Duck.
A goose. A goose. What is the plural of a goose?
Geese.
Yes, there's a famous story, not so famous, it's known within our family, that the first time my wife and I played Boggle together, I believe we were still dating, I came up with the word goose, and I was very excited. She didn't get it. You know how to play Boggle, by the way? Familiar? So I had goose, and then I also pronounced very proudly, and gooses, which of course would be a seven-letter word, which would give me a whole lot of points, but it wasn't to be. It's not actually a word. So that has continued on to be the symbol of my Boggle. What?
It would be a word.
If it's a verb.
In a different context.
If it was a word, it would be a good word. But it's not.
It's a verb.
Okay. So, biadua she'eno dores. So biyadua she'enu doris umutter ba'achila. It is known that it is not doris umutter ba'achila imesh l'shosh simani b'gufa. And it is known that it is not doris. It is permissible to eat if there are these 13 simanim. So it has three simanim. So it has those three simanim that are mentioned there. We know, as far as we know, it's not doris, and it has these other ideas that it has a wide beak and a webbed foot. So then that would be edible. That's what the Mechaber adds in. So even the Mechaber is not going to be too easy to get by. Pretty much anything that has to be a duck or a geese or a goose, whatever. That would be okay, but you're not going to be able to get away with much, even according to the Mechaber. Okay? Fine. What about if you go from place to place? So we have an idea with Minhagim. We know about Minhagim, that you have to keep the rule with Minhagim, that you have to keep the chumras of where you came from, the chumras of where you go to. So if you're going to a place that is machmer on a certain thing, you have to be machmer like them. If you come from a place that is machmer on it, and you're visiting someplace else, you have to be machmer as well. That's the general rule. What about, is this any different here? So the Aruch HaShulchan points out that this isn't exactly the same thing. What are we looking for according to the Ramah? The Ramah says you have to have a Masorah that it's kosher in order to eat it. What about if you don't have a Masorah, asks the Aruch HaShulchan? Right? Not having a Masorah, not having a tradition, is not the same as having a tradition that it's usher. Right? There's having a tradition that's permissible, there's having a tradition that's prohibited, and then there's, I don't know. So, I don't know, so you have things that fall back on. So the Ramah says when it comes to bird, the I don't know, the fall back on is don't eat it. But it doesn't mean you have a Masorah not to eat it. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan points out. He says, if you're in a place where the minhag is that not to eat it, and because you have no Masorahs on it, the halach l'makom she'ochlan, so when you go to a place where you eat it, where they eat it, because they're supposed to have a tradition, yachlu gakein lo'ochlu sham, you're allowed to eat it there. Afilu daito lachso l'komo, even if you have in mind to go back home, because you're relying on their Masorah, that's okay. It's not an issue. Why? So that you don't eat in your place. It's not because you hold it's usr. You agree it's mutter. It's just that there's this stringency of the Ramah that we don't eat things without a Masorah. But that's a personal chumrah. I mean, that's not really a personal. That's a chumrah that we have. So if I go to someplace where they're not machmer on that, I have a right to rely on that. And then he continues on and says, and let's say you had a whole bunch of people that agreed to accept the Masorah of another place, so they could actually import the Masorah on birds, provided that it's actually a chash of Masorah, a good Masorah that they're relying on. So the Aruch HaShulchan does lay the groundwork for an idea that if you see a bunch of people that are eating it, and they have a solid Masorah on which to rely, you can adopt their Masorah. You can learn from them. Okay, that is Aruch HaShulchan, Simen Pei Beis, Lama Beis, Lama Gimel. What?
But you can't adopt a negative Masorah? I mean, if they have a Masorah, that they can't eat that.
Right.
Not from doubt, just the Masorah is, it's prohibited.
Well, why would it be prohibited?
I don't know.
Right. So you can't say we assume a bird is usher to eat, unless you have a reason to, otherwise we call that Bal Tosef. And that's a prohibition of adding to the Torah.
Okay.
So the only thing we're working with here is that, well, we just don't know, unless we know. So if there, if a person had a Masorah, that this bird is qualified as an orif, as a raven, Mm-hmm. Right? So then that's a prohibition to eat. That you wouldn't be allowed to eat. And that's not what the Rosh Hashanah is talking about. The Rosh Hashanah is talking about the general bird that we just don't know what it is, yes or no. Ashkenazim, therefore, a machmir. They go to some place where they're makil. You have the right to eat that bird, relying on the Masorah you go to. And in fact, he even suggests the idea of importing that Masorah. Okay? So that is the background necessary to then head into the world of Turkey. Turkey is the issue where this comes up. In fact, Rabbi Dr. Zivotofsky has an article in the RGJ Journal from spring 1998. I think this might be the first one I ever bought. Where he points out that Israel leads the world, according to the National Turkey Federation, Israel leads the world in turkey consumption per capita at a whopping 26.9 pounds per capita. In 1996, Israel consumed about 45% more turkey than Americans, who are the world's number two consumers. So Israel is all about turkey.
Shawarma.
Okay, turkey shawarma. Also, the reason was beef is so expensive in Israel. So you could really go, if you go to yeshiva in Israel, and not to the American yeshivas, the early yeshivas, you could go the whole year without eating meat. I mean, just chicken, turkey, that's all that they have. Hot dogs are turkey, everything. Right, but shawarma is turkey. It doesn't have to be, but that's just what it is. Turkey shawarma is what you buy. Okay, so that leads to the issue of turkey. So turkey was brought by Columbus back to Europe. And in fact, he says this here, I gotta look into this a little bit more. It was brought by the pilgrims from England to Plymouth. I mean, when we talk about turkey being at the first Thanksgiving, it's not because the Indians provided the turkey, it's because the Americans provided, I mean, the, not American, I don't want to say that, the English people provided the turkey.
Anyway, originated in Virginia, is that what you're saying?
They originated, no, in Mexico. He says here there's two different breeds of turkey. One is, if I could find it here, one is from Mexico and one is from South America. So the turkey that was brought back, that was served at that Thanksgiving, was actually turkey from, here you go. No, forget it. Find someplace. It's a pretty long article for RGJ standards. So he so that's the issue with regards to what is then the room to sit? So of course turkey comes from America. There's obviously no Masorah that goes back too far on it. So how could it be that it became pretty much totally acceptable throughout the Torah world? So he goes through a couple of. Is there a way? Really, the question is there a way of adding birds into the Masorah? Is that possible at all to do? So it seems like... because there's no Masorah on it. Right? We are Ashkenazi Jews, Vnei Yisrael, Yotzim Biyad Rama. We rely on the Rama. The Rama says you can't eat any birds unless there's a tradition. There's obviously no tradition on turkey because it didn't exist. So actually, I quote somebody here that says, well, turkey came to Europe in 1492 is when Columbus came to America. So it came in the early 1500s, and the Rama.
How is the turkey different than the chicken?
Because it's different than a chicken.
It's a different species. It can be completely different. I always thought they're very similar.
As a layperson, I'd
like
say
they're almost like the same kind of thing.
No. So one second. It might be that actually does play in, but turkeys are definitely not chickens. They might be.
No, they're not chickens, but they're
birds.
I think about them in the same category as a chicken.
In what sense? Birds.
Yeah.
Okay, so one might be that it came back before, that entered the Masorah before the Ramaz Isser. That might be a possibility. The only problem with saying that is that the Ramaz wasn't making up his own Isser. First of all, it comes from Rashi. So it's already a Chumar of Rashi. The Ramaz doesn't make up anything on his own, right? He doesn't accept, I shouldn't say nothing, but most of what the Ramaz does was already in play before the Ramaz came along. In fact, the Rush talks about requiring a Masorah for birds. So therefore, to say that the Ramaz came up with this, no, that the ban on it certainly existed before Christopher, I shouldn't say certainly, but almost certainly existed before Christopher Columbus discovered America. So what are the other, is there another possible way in order to bring it in? So one possibility, so there are a couple of options that are thrown around in the post-gim. However, not too many of them are really going to be so applicable here, although maybe add them together, it might add in. So what are the possibilities? Number one, there is, according to Dr. Zivotofsky here, if two birds are not colliding with one another, meaning there's no prohibition in mating them together, so then you don't have a problem. The problem is we don't have a mesorah for that either, so that's not going to be good. Eggs. So if you could demonstrate the eggs are the same as kosher eggs, that would be okay. So if you could say that turkey eggs look exactly like chicken eggs, you'd be okay. The problem is turkey eggs are about twice as big as chicken eggs, so that's not going to work. Next. He says, if the eggs, the Gemara does say, and is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that eggs that have two rounded ends or two pointed ends are definitely from non-kosher species. But all eggs that have one rounded end and one pointed end may be from a kosher bird. Same thing, if a yolk is inside and the white is on the outside, it may be kosher, but if the yolk is on the outside and it is not kosher, and if the two are intermingled, so it's an egg, it is the egg of an insect. So those might be workable to tell you that it's definitively not kosher, but so far we don't have anything that's going to tell you that it is kosher. So then there's another rule that Gemara tells us, something called shachin v'nidme, that if they live together, so if it lives together with non-kosher birds, so then you'll know that it's not kosher. If it lives together with kosher birds, so then it's okay. So the turkey seems to live pretty nicely with chickens. So does that help? So, first of all, it's only quoted one way in the poskim. It's only quoted in the non-kosher way. I mean, if it hangs out with non-kosher birds, then it's no good. The Rishon don't quote the other way, which is a question why that would be. But anyways, that's a fact. It's just not quoted that way. The second issue is that just because a farmer decides to stick them both in the same cage, that doesn't necessarily mean that qualifies as shachin v'nidbe. Okay, so that then brings us to what Dr. Zivotofsky refers to as the goose comparison. What is the goose comparison? So he quotes a day from the Balamor that if the and that's what the Machaber is actually talking about here. If it has a wide beak and webbed feet, so then it's not Doris. And if you put that together with the three signs, so then that should be okay in order to permit this unknown species. So perhaps, I'm not sure a turkey qualifies as having webbed feet. It doesn't have webbed feet. So, right, that should work. Should it add in? So also, unclear if that seems to be exactly what the Ramah seems to be disagreeing with. The Ramah is on that sif and going and saying, unless you have a Mesorah, it's not going to be usable. He has two other tests which he uses here. One is the hybridization test, that can they be crossbreeded together? So that, apparently, he says, yes. But not necessarily means of distinguishing between kosher and not. Right, so unclear whether that works, but apparently chickens and birds could be mixed together. The last thing that he quotes here is an additional rule that is known as the Zivug test. What is the Zivug test? That that if you put a bird, both with a kosher bird and with its own species as well as with a kosher species. So if you put a turkey with turkeys and chickens, and the turkey will sometimes go after the chicken instead of the turkey, try to mate with a chicken instead of a turkey, so that's considered even better than than just the mating test. The mating test is one level, but if they actually would choose one over another, so that perhaps makes it better. So that maybe that maybe is helpful with regards to resolving this.
Is there such a thing as a crossbred turkey-chicken?
Yes, so he claims that even if the hybridization test is no good and really kosher and non-kosher birds can breed, this test reveals that they're actually one and the same species. Similarly, the Nachal Eshek concludes a lengthy discussion of the hybridization test, and if an unknown species regularly produces with a known kosher species, the three physical indicators can be relied upon, and no further species is required since they are considered one species. Chest Lavram agrees as well.
They're not the same species. By that definition, they are, I guess.
Except your
problem. I apologize. I'm going to apologize. I didn't think they were the same species.
No, so it's a suggestion that maybe they could be, that they could get in based on that. It doesn't mean that they're the same species. It just means that they're able to mate together. There was, I remember at an RCA convention, there was a problem a couple of years ago that there were a lack of eggs. Anybody remember this? There was like an egg shortage in America. And there were actually limits on how many eggs you could buy in the store. I remember this was like 3-4 years ago. So there was they wanted to start importing eggs from Asia. And that would raise a whole big kashrus concern, because who says the chickens in Asia are considered the same chickens as in America? Who says that any masorah on them? Furthermore, it's not just that, realize it's not just an issue with regards to the eggs sold in the store. It's also an issue with every industry that needs eggs. So where are they going to get from? So Rabbi Ganek gave a talk at the RCA convention where he said they have to dispatch some people out to China to try to test with chickens, with American chickens in hand, in order to test these chickens. To see if they'd be able to meet together in order to certify that they'd be considered kosher. I don't know the conclusion of them.
Mixing, cross-mixing breeds species.
That's working them together, right?
Working or anything, really.
Yeah. Well, you have to see if you can't force them, but you have to see, you know, leave them in nature, and nature calls.
But isn't that us to us? I mean, a cross-breed is great.
I don't. It's not us or to us. No, we're allowed to benefit from them. Same thing. We're allowed to benefit from crossbred vegetables, even though we wouldn't go ahead and do it. Okay. So, bottom line is, what are some of the reasons to say that it's okay? So, he quotes here from the Nativ that after a while. He says that for some reason they started eating it, and for some reason it became kosher, and it fits all of the signs of it being kosher. So what's really the main problem, right? Based on that Gemara, where the Gemara said that a Masorah, we don't eat it unless there's a Masorah, but it turned out later that the bird turned out to be a Doris, turned out to be one that clawed, etc. So suggests the Nativ, yeah, but after a while, after we've had these turkeys around for hundreds and hundreds of years, and we have evidence that they're not Doris. It's no longer just, at some point you have to realize that it's not going to change, and we understand what the nature is. So even though we might have a Masorah, even though there might not be a Masorah, if it fits all the other signs, and we've been watching it for a long, long time, so then it's possible to say that would then enter the Masorah. Sorry, that's from the Aruga Sabosim. The Aruga Sabosim says that by now we know that they're not going to be considered Doris. The other possibility is that they came in through the Sephardic lands, that the Sephardic don't have the same Chumrah that the Ramah has, and since they were Mekalan, it's therefore we could sort of import their Masorah, plus there's so many people that are doing it, so therefore one has the right to rely on that. He has here a long footnote where he discusses some of the modern people. I didn't realize this. Apparently, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has a chari chumrah. His family did not eat turkey. He attributes the not eating to a lack of Masorah, but did not hold the Masorah was impossible. He just said, we don't have one. He says that his son Rav Shmuel also, he quotes here from that Rav Shmuel has further explained that his father's family did not have a tradition to avoid turkey. His father adopted the custom out of respect for his wife, whose family did not eat turkey. So it wasn't a family tradition, it was his father being respectful to his wife. Thus, although Rav Shmuel continues to refrain from turkey in deference to the custom he was raised with, his wife and children all eat it, reported by Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky's son-in-law Rav Shalom Kelemer, and by Gilad Gevaryahu. It's reported as well, what?
Ostrich.
Ostrich?
As well, web feed.
I don't know about ostrich for now. We'll get to... Okay, hold on.
Emu.
Emu, right. Those are animals. Those are the animals with the one hump or something? Or those are zebus. I'm thinking about zebus. I don't know about emus. Okay. Also called Rav Dovid Lifshitz, that his son-in-law... says that that it was a personal chumrah they didn't want other people to know about. There's a famous idea from the Shla, although apparently he says here it's not in writing. The Shla Kodesh lived 1565 to 1630. There's a tradition that the Shla left instructions that his descendants should not eat turkey, and that actually is observed by relatives until today. My Rebbe Rav David Horowitz, my 12th grade Rebbe Rav David Horowitz, once told us that he's also a descendant of the Shla, so he doesn't eat turkey out of family tradition. He says he has a lot of cousins that don't eat turkey. I forgot what he said he personally does or doesn't do. He said he has a lot of cousins that don't eat turkey because of the tradition from the Elta Zeta that you can't eat turkey according to the Shla. He said they might eat pork on Yom Kippur, but they don't eat turkey because of the family that they come from. That part of the line I recall from. Okay, so there are those that are individually machmir, but just one more thought than that. Oh, we don't really have time for this. News are running out of time. But a couple of simanim earlier, there was also the idea of anatomy. Our assumption here is that why is there a whole problem with birds? Because we're not given signs for birds. The Torah doesn't give signs for birds, although the Mishnah does. For animals, it shouldn't be a problem. If it has split hooves and it chews its cud, so then it shouldn't be a problem. So there is a bit of an issue because the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Pei discusses Din Chai B'Torah. And he says that a chaya is its chaylev is going to be permissible. Right? We've talked a lot about chaylev and shuman. So the chaylev of a chaya is okay. It's only a chaylev of behema that's not okay. And the Shach makes a comment here and says, "Well, if she'ein lanu ata elamashiki balu b'mesoras, that we only have a mesora, so we don't know." Like we see in the next simon when it comes to oath, katsarti. I'm not going to write very much. It's a little bit of a cryptic comment. Some have interpreted this to mean that the Shach says that we can't eat behemos either, we can't eat animals either, unless there is a mesora on it, which would then open the door to say, or maybe close the door on buffalo and bison meat. Buffalo and bison meat have the signs of being kosher, and some have suggested that the Shach came here to prohibit it, to prohibit buffalo meat. That is suggested out there, that is quoted by the Chai Adam as well. Yeah, that was... As well as perhaps by the Aruch HaShulchan, this idea from the Shach. Now, and most prominently, Bizman HaZeh, it's quoted by the Chazon Ish as saying that unless you have a Mesorah, you're not supposed to eat these things. Now, the main answer against that comes from the Prima Gadam. The Prima Gadam said that he wasn't talking about the signs of whether it's kosher or not. He was talking about the signs of whether it's a chaya or whether it's a behemah. Meaning to say that an animal is a chaya, and therefore the shuman is permissible, the chaylev is permissible without evidence that it is. So that's what he said you need a mesorah for. But to say that it's kosher or not kosher, he claims that that's not what you need a mesorah for. Furthermore, if that really was the issue, it wouldn't be in Simen Pei, rather it would be in Simen Ayin Tes. Nevertheless, while most as far as I know in America, permit buffalo meat. In Eretz Yisrael, they're a little bit more loath. Mahadran meat, Mahadran Ashkachas in Israel, from what I understand, don't permit these things unless there's a mesorah on it. Okay.